Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources, available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
Looking at this new series on destiny and our inheritance, and seeing that we have an individual inheritance, not just corporate, and God has given us a destiny. It came out of eternity. It's a birthright. We have a calling, a purpose, and God has wired us up in a particular way in our personalities. He's given us a redemptive gift so that we can bring that blessing to the whole of creation. He's designed us to fulfill our purpose. But last few weeks, we've been looking at identity and sonship and what it is to be a son of God. And we've seen that we're on a journey from slavery, when we're children and in infancy, coming into the maturity of sonship. And we all start out as slaves. But God wants to bring us into the freedom of knowing who we are. Question is, where are we on that journey? We need to be understanding where we are. Romans 8:29. Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. It's always been God's intention from eternity past, if you like, to wherever it's going in the future, that he would have children who would be in relationship with him, who would be like him. And it is our destiny to be a son of God. The question is, do we feel like that? Do we think like that? And do we act like that? Because it's all very well it being God's intention, but if we're not living in the benefit of all that he's done, then we're missing out. We looked last week at who am I, my identity, and we're going to look at how I'm made, my redemptive gift, what I'm made for, my destiny or birthright, and actually see that it is a journey that we're on, journey of discovery, and it's an adventure that God has set before us. We have a pathway to follow, in which along that way, all the things that we were talking about, even the testimonies today, were about doorways that are opportunities for transformation, for change, for conforming into the image of God, for knowing God better. And a lot of the obstacles that are in our path are designed for us to overcome so that we'll grow stronger. And in the battles that we face, that we'll learn to depend on God more and more and find that intimacy that he has and wants for us. So, do I think like a son or like a slave? Do I act like a son or a slave? Do I identify with slavery or sonship? Do I know my identity as a son? Do I know my royal identity as a son of the king? Because actually that's who we are, sons of the King of Kings. Do I have a spirit of sonship? I need to know that I'm adopted and I am a son of God and I'm able therefore to operate in all the fullness of what that is. So that sort of recaps where we've been. Now, I want to look at today the mindset that a slave has as opposed to a son. And so slavery breeds a poverty spirit, it breeds fear, and it breeds a lack of identity. That's what comes from slavery. Sonship breeds faith, identity, resources, and responsibility. See, a slave just does what he's told, and he's got no choice. But a son has responsibility to choose to act in accordance to the father's will. Empowering slaves leads to rebellion. And we've been looking at the children of Israel and their journey from the slavery of Egypt into their inheritance in the promised land. And you actually see that they were given freedom and responsibility, but because they still had a mindset of slavery, actually it led to rebellion continually against God. Because they were afraid to come under God's authority and to trust him. Therefore, they continually rebelled. And they betrayed him and had treason, even made a golden calf. When he was on the mountain overlooking them, they made a golden calf. Because there was no ownership and no loyalty. Because they didn't know who they were. They were just a rabble who'd come out of Egypt. They weren't yet conformed into who they would be in terms of their identity, in terms of tribes and clans and families, and God had a purpose for each, and they didn't know what they were. So they basically just did their own thing. But also, restricting sons stops creativity. So we've got to be really careful that we don't empower people who don't know who they are, but also that we don't restrict people who do know who they are. Because when people know who they are, it releases something from God for them to be creative in releasing those things into creation. So we must put things in place to help people into sonship, but to deal with the slavery mentality that people often have. So we're going to look at the spirit of slavery versus the spirit of sonship. Now, there are general characteristics that show the difference in behavior between someone with that spirit of slavery and someone with a spirit of sonship. And I'm going to look at a list of them, of ways of thinking, both positive and negative, and I want to encourage you to think about it. The root issues of where we think are in our hearts. It's not in our heads, it's in our hearts. It's what's sown into our hearts. If you like, our hearts being the hard drive of our life and our heads being the random access memory. So things get loaded from the heart into our conscious thinking and then we act out of them. But they come because they're stored in the heart. And the Bible talks about the heart having soil, good soil. Soil that's hard, soil that's got weeds, soil that's got stones. So our heart actually has a lot of things in it that needs dealing with so that we don't operate out of our memory of the past, but operate from our eternal destiny in our spirit. The spirit of slavery is often a product of poor nurture and unresolved woundedness in our lives from our own relationships in the past, but also can be generational. It can come from previous generations of slaves. Because if you think of the children of Israel, it wasn't just one generation. They had, for basically 400 years, been slaves, living in a land which wasn't theirs. So the external behavioral characteristics typically reflect the things that are in our hearts. So we need to look at the fruit and the things that are on the surface so that we can see what's in the heart, and therefore we can be healed and restored and made whole in our hearts, which will change how we think. Now, in this list, no one's going to fall probably into one category alone. And there'll be different characteristics and different way you think in one or another. And at the end of it, use it as a checklist to see, am I thinking more positively or am I thinking more negatively? And don't sort of try and think, what should I think like? Actually think, what do I think like? Do I think like this or do I think like that? Slave or a son? And the questions and these lists really are designed to help us see where we still need to be reparented by God, where we still need God to father us and bring us into wholeness. Don't use them as a list or a tool to label somebody else. You know, it's so easy to look and point a finger at someone else, oh, they think like that. Ask the question of yourself and not anybody else, because it's so easy to deflect and project onto others. So think this stuff about yourself. Now, I got a list. There's a category in the middle. On the left, the heart of slavery and an orphan spirit, what that thinks like, and the right, the heart of the son. So I want you to think carefully about each one. Now, I'm going to go through quite a long list, okay? So don't try and take it all in now. Go back and look at these things as a checklist for the future. The first category is the image of God. How do we see God? The slave often sees God as his master, someone he has to serve out of duty. But a son sees God as a loving father. And that in itself, I could spend a whole session talking about, thinking of God and seeing God as a master or seeing God as a loving father. Which way do you see God? Second one, dependency. A slave is often independent and self-reliant. But a son is interdependent and acknowledges his need. See, a son knows he needs his father, whereas a slave basically has to do everything for himself. Theology. How do we think about the theology of God? A slave lives by the love of the law. So long as there's rules and regulations in place, then there's a degree of security. But a son lives by the law of love. And it doesn't sound much difference, does it? The love of the law or the law of love, but it's totally 180 degrees apart. Because the law of love is knowing that we're loved and accepted and being able to be free because we're loved. The love of the law is we try and do things to try and earn love and try and get love from the things that we do. So if we're good, we think God loves us. If we're bad, we think God doesn't love us. Well, the reality is God loves us all the time exactly the same. But it's how we feel. So how do we feel? Security. Slaves are often insecure and they lack peace. Sons find rest and peace. They can live at rest and peace in every situation of life because they know that God's with them, God's for them, God's favor is for them, God's around them. There's a difference. So think, how do I feel? Do I feel secure? Do I feel at rest? The need for approval. Slaves, orphans, strive for praise and approval and acceptance of man. Therefore, they're controlled by what other people think. But sons feel totally accepted in God's love and are justified by his grace. God's grace is love for us, in spite of everything that we might have done, brings us into a place of justification, as if we'd never ever done anything wrong. Therefore, he's bound to approve of us, because he sees us through grace, through what Jesus did. But actually, do we feel that? Do we know that? Our motive for service. A slave needs for personal achievement. So as you seek to impress God and others, or actually some people have no motivation to serve at all, because it's like, what's the point? I'm a slave. You know, so think about that. Why do I look to serve? Or why do I not even bother wanting to serve? Because a son, service is motivated by deep gratitude for being unconditionally loved and accepted by God. Therefore, I have gratitude because I know God loves me. So I love him in back. He first loved me, I can love him. So my motive for service is totally different depending on which way I think. And therefore the rewards that come out of that are totally different. Motive behind Christian disciplines. What does that mean? It means my daily relationship with God. You know, people call it their quiet time. It's like, it's not really very quiet, but it shouldn't be. But why do we do certain things? Out of duty? Trying to earn God's favor? Or actually we've got no motivation for spending time with him at all? And I encourage you to just think about it. Because often people get in a rut with their time with God, because it's a duty. And they think if they don't spend any time with God, well, things will go wrong during the day. That's almost like superstition. If I have my quiet time and do my 5 minutes of Bible reading and a little bit of prayer, then well, everything will be okay today. And we can treat it, our relationship with God, like that, if we have a heart of a slave. But if we have a heart of a son, actually spending time with God in relationship brings pleasure and delight. It should bring us joy and peace and love and intimacy, which just totally changes how we feel about God. So think about it. Do I do things because I'm afraid if I don't do them, things will go wrong? Motives for purity. A slave must be holy to have God's favor, thus increasing a sense of shame and guilt when I get it wrong. When you get it wrong, it's a key indicator to where you are with a heart of sonship or slavery. When you get it wrong, do you feel guilty and condemned and feel ashamed? Because that motivation will come from the enemy. And it will come from a heart that doesn't know acceptance and love unconditionally. But a son, my desire as a son to be pure is to want to be holy, to do not to do anything that's going to hinder my relationship or intimacy with God. I don't want to do things because I'm afraid of being punished, because there's no punishment for sons. God disciplines those he loves. He trains and corrects. He doesn't punish us. But a slave is looking for punishment when they get it wrong. And I encourage you to just think about those ways of thinking. self-image. How do I view myself? Well, a slave often has self-rejection, doesn't like himself or herself because they compare themselves to others. But the son has a positive, affirmed self-image because you know you've got value to God. You know, why would I see myself as valuable to God? Because he loves me and he gave Jesus to die for me. He loves me. But a son thinks that way. A slave doesn't. Our source of comfort. Often slaves seek comfort in counterfeits, counterfeit affections, addictions, compulsions, escapism, busyness, hyper-religious activity. And I will go into that another time in some more depth, how that works. But a son seeks times of quietness and solitude to rest in the presence of God. So God is my comfort. He's my high tower. He's my source. He's my supply. I look to him for everything. Whereas a slave doesn't think that way and looks to other things to fill the hole where fatherhood is. Peer relationships. Often slaves is competition, rivalry, jealousy towards others' success and position. Because we're insecure about our own. Whereas a son, humility, unity, as you value others, you're able to rejoice in their blessings and success. So think, when someone else is blessed, do you feel blessed or do you feel jealous? Have you ever thought, well, why are they always favored and I'm not? You know, be honest, ask yourself the question whether you've ever thought that way and whether you still do. Handling other people's faults. Slaves use accusation and exposure in order to make yourself look good by making others look bad. Anyone ever done that? Gossiped? Told something about somebody else to make yourself feel better? But a son, love covers as you seek to restore others in a spirit of love and gentleness. See, when others mess up, there's an opportunity to reach out with the love of God and restore and bring back into wholeness. But we need to ask ourselves those questions. Which way do we think? View of authority. Slaves see authority as a source of pain, distrustful toward them, lack a heart attitude of submission, because they're afraid of being abused, of being let down, of being hurt, of being used. But a son is respectful, honoring, and see authority as a minister of God for good in our lives. How do we view authority? Do we struggle with it? Or do we see the blessing that comes from it? See, if we know God as Father who loves us and wants to correct us and train us and help us, or do we think of authority as only bringing pain and suffering through punishment? A view of admonition. Admonition means correction. A slave, difficulty receiving admonition. You must be right, so you easily get your feelings hurt and close your spirit to discipline. See, if you know God's love, it's very easy for him to say, that wasn't wrong, right? And you don't feel all hurt or wounded. You just accept it, confess it, and receive forgiveness, and move on, and learn from it. But as a slave, quite often it's difficult to receive that correction, so you resist it, and you get all upset because someone's told you off, rather than realizing that God wants to show us our weaknesses so that he can make us strong, not to condemn us because of them. So sons see receiving admonition as a blessing and a need in our lives so that faults and weaknesses are exposed and put to death and life can come out of them. Expression of love. Slaves often are guarded and conditional based on other people's performance as you seek to get your own needs met. See, God so loved the world that he gave. But often people love as a result of other people loving. And if people don't, and their performance, it can change how we think about love. A heart of a son, being open, patient, and affectionate as you lay your life and agendas down in order to meet the needs of others. Isn't that what Jesus talked about? Love God with all your heart, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's like the whole thing's based on love how God loves. And God loves unconditionally. God wants us to love unconditionally as well, not based on other people's performance. Sense of God's presence. Often slave feels it's conditional on them doing things right, and they feel distant from God, because very often we don't get everything right. So we always feel God's waiting to pounce with a big stick, rather than to embrace and forgive and love and accept. So a heart of a son finds God's presence in closeness and intimacy, because there's no barriers between us and God, because Jesus did everything he needed to do to remove every barrier that there is. Our condition. Well, slaves are in bondage. Sons live in liberty, freedom, to be sons, to embrace their destiny and to be who God called them to be. But slaves are in bondage to their past, to the way they think, to their mindsets, to the strongholds of this way of thinking. Position. Slaves don't feel like sons, they feel like servants. Do you feel like a servant or a slave or a son? Vision. Often slaves struggle in this area, but spiritual ambition, the desire for something spiritual, some spiritual achievement and distinction, and the willingness to strive for it, is a desire to seem counted among the mature. So in other words, slaves want to appear to be like everybody else, so they'll strive for it rather than sons who just want to express God's unconditional love and acceptance and just be who they're called to be. And there's a total difference in motivation. You can just be who you're called to be, or you strive to be something that you don't feel. And that is a trap that we don't want to be in. Our future. Slaves fight for what you can get. Sons, sonship just releases inheritance. It releases blessing. You don't have to do anything for it. It's already yours. So knowing who we are as a son just releases us from all the fighting and struggling and striving to be something and get something and earn something, because it already belongs to us as sons of God. We just need to step into it. So another list of things here. Categories, how we respond to different situations. The response to pain. Slaves generally run from pain, seek to avoid problems, and seize the cost of failure. But a son embraces pain strategically. In other words, sees that it's got usefulness. That's where Hazel's testimony was really good this morning, because she saw the obstacles as doorways to blessing, to peace, to joy, to love. Or you can see is something to avoid and run from. See, the benefit of failure is that you can learn to succeed the next time. That's how God treats it. Use everything as a stepping stone to success in the future. A slave's perspective of work. Obeys orders, looks at the right way to do a job, considers the consequences of not doing it right. A son solves problems, looks for a better way of doing a job, and sees possibilities. Total different mindset. See, one will keep things the same, and the other will release in something new and fresh. Because you're always looking for something fresh to come out of situations. The use of resources. A slave sees cost, wants to receive from those who have, and cares for himself. A son sees value, wants to know how they got there, and understands social responsibility. So think about how you see these things. The nature of their relationships. Slaves talk about self, expects more from others than from self, and extends honor upwards. In other words, only looks to honor those who can help them. Whereas a son talks about his team, personally raises the bar and extends honor downwards. Wants to encourage people to come up. Totally different way of looking at it. The view of the future. Slave looks for immediate gain, seeks comfort, wants to be liked now. So we'll do things to be liked now, which maybe even to compromise, to fit into a situation, because that will give something instant. A son sows into the future, seeks fulfillment, will let history be his judge. The exercise of power. A slave is often disloyal when he succeeds, gives favors and seeks supernatural for themselves. And a lot of people in the past who've been used by God, who didn't deal with their slavery spirit and slavery mentality, ended up losing and messing up their gift and what they've been called to do because they used it to promote themselves, because it met a need in them. This is why God wants us to deal with these things today, because the anointing and the stuff that God is going to pour out and the responsibility and the power of sonship and bringing rulership, bringing the kingdom from heaven to earth, is going to need sonship, not slavery. So God is not going to release the fullness of his power and authority to slaves, because it will always lead to rebellion and often to failure. But a son initiates sharing success, shows favor to others, and uses the supernatural for the benefit of others. So just sort of think and ask those sort of questions. Use this checklist, and I know it's a list, and I know I've just gone through it, because it would take a long time to go through it in detail. Go back to it yourself and just ask yourself, have I got more thinking on the left side as a slave or more on the right side as a son? Because that will show where you are on your journey. But the only way it works is if you're really honest with yourself. If you are not honest with yourself, and if you pretend that you think more on the right when you actually think more on the left, then you never change. It's about being honest and recognizing the demonic strongholds that we have in our thinking that stop us from inheriting who we are as a son of God. Those strongholds are defended and powered by familiar spirits. Those spirits that are familiar with the patterns and the thinking and the mindsets that you've got, and they continually remind you and get you to think that way. Those things result in the patterns of behavior that we have. Now, there's a downward spiral that leads to an orphan heart, and we're going to look at this next time. There are 12 steps that of progressive behavior that we have and learn from childhood that brings us into an orphan heart. That shapes us and blocks our destiny. But God wants us to do something about it. So when you look at these things, don't feel condemned. Oh no, I feel like a slave. That's the very nature of a slave, to think that way. Don't feel condemned. So actually, no, God is only showing me this stuff so that he can free me from it, so that I can be a son, so I can have my full inheritance. I can think like a son. I can have the wealth mentality of a son that has all the access to heaven and heaven's blessings, heaven's authority and heaven's power, the sonship that God has for us in the heavenly realm so that we can bring that onto earth, all comes from knowing who we are as a son. You see, in the heavenly realms, we have places of authority that God has destined us to have, mountains with thrones, that God is calling us to possess. We can only possess them when we come into maturity. Galatians 4 talks about, you might be a son of the king, but if you don't know who you are and you're still a child, then you're still like a slave. So we have to be trained and brought into maturity so that we can inherit what God has got for us in the heavenly realms, and therefore bring that to earth and manifest God's kingdom around our lives through us. So what do we do when we recognize, well, actually my mindset's not right there. The way I'm acting is not right there. Well, there's a list here. One, forgive and release those who have resulted in you feeling the way you have. If you've had a relationship with your parents or other authority figures which have caused you to feel rejected, hurt, disappointed, and those things, forgive and release by choice. Not because they deserved it, but by choice. And don't rationalize it either. Oh, well, they're just like that because their parents were and their parents were. Yeah, that might be true, but you still suffered. Not having a earthly representation of a heavenly father. So choose to forgive and release. Own the way of thinking or the behavior. Don't make excuses for it or try and avoid it. Own it. If you don't own it, it won't change. So own that. Confess it as sin. It is wrong to think like a slave when God has destined you to be a son. And if you don't think it's sin, then you'll carry on, be comfortable with it. Renounce it. Which means, I am not going to think that way anymore. I have no use for that type of thinking. Repent. Turn from it and turn to the truth, your sonship. So turn from slavery and turn to the truth. You are a son. That is who you've been destined to be. Go to the courts in heaven and get a mandate, a court order, divorce papers, so that you can actually enforce separation from that way of thinking, that behavior, and you have a right to do it in the kingdom. Now we start going back up. Meditate on the truth. Start meditating on what God says about you, that he loves you, that he accepts you, that you have a destiny. Find those scriptures that you're destined to be his son and meditate on them. Get them into your spirit so that they are the things that you're living your life on. That takes time, yes. But in meditating on that truth becomes something you experience and know by encounter rather than by intellectual knowledge. Attack the familiar spirits. Don't let them lie to you, whisper into your mind. When you recognize that is a wrong way of thinking, it says take captive every thought. Don't dwell on the thoughts. Once someone said you can't stop birds flying over your head, but you can stop them nesting in your hair, if you've got any. Some of you have got a great advantage there. Birds can definitely not have in your hair. But you have to deal with the thoughts that come. Don't entertain them and don't allow them to take root. Challenge them. Positively confess the truth. Be really careful about what's coming out of your mouth. Don't say negative things that line up with a spirit of slavery. Oh, well, I'm no good. I'll never do anything good. You know, I'm a worm. No one really likes me. If you say those things, it just reaffirms the whole mindset of slavery. Speak the truth. God loves me. He accepts me. He has a destiny for me. And I'm going to pursue it. Be positive, not negative. You may need deliverance. You may need someone to pray with you to set you free from the mindsets that control you. If you cannot deal with them yourself, if they're not going by doing everything else, then you need prayer. You need someone to minister to you. And that demolish the strongholds and set you free by delivering you from the spirits that are affecting you. You may need healing. You may be wounded in your heart from those things that were said and done and not said and not done in the past. Therefore, you need healing. You need the Holy Spirit and the power of healing to bring total cleansing and wholeness to you again, so that you can come back into restoration, to be restored, whole, brought into a place of peace and rest, knowing who you are as a child of God, knowing God's love. Nothing can replace Father God in your life. You can try and fill that hole in your life with everything else. Nothing will replace it. Father God wants us to truly know our identity as his sons. He really wants us to know who we are. He wants us to renounce our slavery and orphan mentalities. He wants us to receive our security and acceptance from him, from nothing else. So I want to encourage you, use those things as a checklist to see where you are and actually look to take hold of who you really are and deal with those ways of thinking. Be honest, be open, and be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction so that we can change. God desires us to really know that we're sons. And when we really know that we're sons, we will be manifested on the earth to bring the whole of creation back into alignment so everything comes back into godly order, which was God's intention before Satan fell. And he wants us to bring restoration back to original condition. So let's be willing to deal with those mindsets so that we can enter into the blessing of sonship. Amen.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.